You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today in RBN Studio B. To see the guest lineup for Studios A and B, please click on the word schedule in the RBN banner at the top of the page at republicbroadcasting.org. RBN is running a pledge drive. If you wish to make a donation, you may do so at that website, republicbroadcasting.org. Please visit Spingola, please visit Spingola.com to see the guest lineup for this program along with relevant links. During the program, email your questions or comments to Spingola1 at yahoo.com. My regular email is Deanna at Spingola.com. You may join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, Spingola.com, or by going to Spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after the first break at 877-488-5350. On September 20th, 2012, Facebook posted some information on their organ donation campaign. Let me read what this says. Facebook is taking its campaign to boost organ donations to Canada and Mexico this week, 4 months after its premiere. The feature allows Facebook users to tell their friends and family that they're registered organ donors. It also directs people who aren't signed up as organ donors to the official registries where they live. How's it working so far? Between May 1st and the middle of September, around 275,000 Facebook users posted their donor status on the site, according to numbers Facebook provided to Shots. It shows the enormous potential of social media, said Blair Sadler, an attorney and a senior fellow at the Institute for Healthcare Improvement. He said it's no longer theoretical. Sadler has been on the front lines of organ donation for decades. Along with his twin brother, Dr. Alfred Sadler, he helped to develop the news that made organ donor cards legally binding documents. The lawyer, Sadler, said Facebook's new feature has the potential to revolutionize the field of organ transplantation because large numbers of people will be expressing publicly what they want to happen to their organs after they die. People are more prone to be influenced by their friends or family than by activists or public health officials. My guests today are Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones. They are associated with LifeGuardianFoundation.org. Dr. Byrne and Bernice, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Deanna, for inviting us.
Well, this news on Facebook, 275,000 people, and they are so deluded because they say that they get to choose what will happen to their organs after they die, when in fact they have chosen to die because they have signed this pledge.
Yes, and of course, one has to realize that every time an organ is taken for transplantation, it's taken from someone who has a beating heart, circulation, and respiration. And in the process, then the organ donor is always either killed or made weaker. And the term after they die, that is when someone goes from being alive until dead and becomes a dead body, a cadaver or a corpse, there are no organs that can be taken for transplantation.
Right. Now, we do have to take a real quick break. We will be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
Are you concerned about fluoride, chlorine, parasites, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Dalton ceramic water filters have been made continuously since 1827 and are used by disaster relief organizations and in third world countries to supply safe drinking water. Not only do we offer gravity filter systems, but also under the sink and countertop systems. Our replacement filters can be used to upgrade your existing system. And unlike some other filters on the market, Dalton filters do not have to be primed. For more information, call us at 800-696-1435, 800-696-1435, or order online at Dalton.com. That's Dalton.com.
Allison C. is made from pure garlic through a patented process that stabilizes the actual Allison of 34 cloves of garlic in one tiny capsule. Allison only exists for a fraction of a second when you crush a clove of garlic. It is the most powerful, natural antibiotic known to man and has been proven in laboratory testing to kill bacteria, viruses, fungus, and parasites without upsetting the natural balance of healthy organisms in the body. Allison C also helps prevent disease when taken on a regular basis. You can purchase your Allison C through Paul Drockton's website, internettruth.org. Start enjoying the benefits of this all-natural supplement today. Go to internettruth.org for your supply.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. HerbalHealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to HerbalHealer.com today. HerbalHealer.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guests today are Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones. They are associated with Life Guardian Foundation, all one word, LifeGuardianFoundation.org. And you've been at this for quite a long time. You've done some amazing work, and I think that that there are people who are actually waking up to the facts that you have presented. And recently there was a newspaper article in the New York Post about organs. The title of it is Organs Taken from Patients That Doctors Were Pressured to Declare Brain Dead. And there's a lawsuit going on, and this was just posted at the end of September.
Yes. Well, that's it might be new to have that lawsuit, but it's been going on for a long time that the doctors get pressured. Actually, one of our good friends, Dr. Niltis, a neurosurgeon, really retired from practice because of the badgering that was coming from the organ transplant people to pronounce, to get him to pronounce people dead before they were truly dead. And so that idea isn't new. In fact, the matter is, the way it works in hospital is that as soon as someone has a head injury and they're on a ventilator, Then the organ procurement people are called, and they, at that point, begin to participate to encourage people to become an organ donor if they haven't already signed up, or if they have signed up, to get the relatives to encourage the relatives to participate and support the taking of organs. And, of course, there are no organs that can be taken after someone is truly dead. Every organ that's taken is a healthy organ, and the healthy organ can come only from a living person. After someone is a cadaver, there are no organs that can be transplanted. And the organs to stay healthy in our body require oxygen, a supply of blood. Oxygen comes through the blood. So when they take organs, it's always taken from somebody whose heart is beating and got circulation and respiration. They must have this in order for the organs to stay healthy. And what they do when they take the organs, the first thing they do is just paralyze the patient. That is, so that when they are cut on, they cannot respond in any way. And so that's the first thing that's done. And then when they do cut on them to take the organs, they're paralyzed but not given an anesthetic. And when they do cut on them, the heart rate goes up and the blood pressure goes up. And that happens all the time. And these kinds of things are well documented in the medical literature. They're well known. It's almost like the people involved play a game of pretend. For instance, they pretend that it doesn't count that the heart is beating and there's a circulation and there's respiration. Yet, who would bury somebody who has a beating heart and circulation? Who would put them into the fiery furnace of a crematory when they have a beating heart and circulation? And yet, the beating heart and circulation is going on when the signal comes down to cut out the beating heart and the other organs for transplantation. Yes.
Now, why don't they give them anesthetic?
They don't give them an anesthetic because that is the way they do it in the United States. In the United Kingdom, in England, the anesthesiologist will not participate unless they give an anesthetic. The reaction when they just paralyze them like they do in the United States, the reaction of the increase in heart rate and increase in blood pressure is very similar to what the anesthesiologist gets used to seeing during an operation when the anesthetic becomes light and he knows he has to give more anesthetic to take away the pain so there isn't that response. It's the way it is in the United States that they take the organs without an anesthetic. In England, the anesthesiologist will not participate unless the donor is given an anesthetic.
Oh, that is absolutely cruel. Absolutely
it's
cruel.
It's cruel and it's torture. Ask Bernice. Bernice, they took the organs from Brandon, Bernice's son, and then later she got the records and found out what was done with her son. Ask Bernice. She can tell you.
Bernice?
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you. Well, everything that he says is true, and this is a socially driven propaganda. And the only way it works is because people are just ignorant of the facts. The organ donor must be alive. And like I've been saying for 13 years, why isn't that enough truth, that the organ donor is alive? When my son was taken to the hospital, the clinical evaluation, the bedside clinical evaluation, he flunked. In other words, he was responding to pain. He was breathing on his own. He was put on a ventilator. That didn't mean that he was going to die. But it did signal the organ procurement agency to come in, and that's what happened behind the scenes. We had no idea. We had no idea that his medical records were handed over to the organ procurement organization, and that there was a person there then, after, from that point on, overseeing everything that was going on. Well, our family was believing and hoping and praying for the restoration of Brandon's health, that he was being cared for. The gears of the organ transplantation industry had well, you know, been thrust forward. When we left the hospital, we were told that our son was dead. And to receive those medical records and to find out that 20 hours after he had been declared dead, he was alive.
And, now, they declared him brain dead, correct?
Yes. But there, you have to understand that the certificate, the death certificate, what is this death certificate that states that he was dead, when in fact 20 hours later they had to give him a paralyzing drug it was a living dissection is what he went through. They feel pain and they are forced to endure a living dissection. This horror, it was actually worse than losing my son, to know how he died. And people must understand this, and that there are no laws to protect the patient in the hospital from this. None. But there are laws to make sure that people are, all of them, are looked at as being a potential organ donor. That's why it's so important that Dr. Byrne and his ministry and speaking out about this, that people are informed. If my son's life had been protected and preserved, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that he would have walked out of that hospital. But you have to understand that he was not treated for his injury. He was treated to be an organ donor.
Right. Now, isn't it true that that when somebody is involved in an accident and they're placed in an ambulance, that even before they decide where to take the person, the patient, that they pretty much have them set up to be an organ donor simply because of an accident?
Yeah, this is true. The minute the 911 call goes in, the gears are put in action. And that's why it's so important that families and loved ones are made aware of this, and they can stand up and speak on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves. It is absolutely critical. It's a matter of life and death.
Literally.
Yes, literally.
Oh, I cannot even imagine your pain.
I am so sorry that Brandon had to go through this, that my family and I had to endure this suffering to have this knowledge, to have this understanding. But, praise God. Praise God. If somebody just hears this truth and takes action, because this is what's so needed. We need people to be educated about the truth. The propaganda, millions and millions and millions of dollars are spent, taxpayer dollars are spent to propagate that the organ donor is dead. The most recent information that I picked up at the DMV is still stating that when you are dead. So it's very important that this information is revealed.
Right. All righty, we do have to go to a break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
These annoying collection calls.
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. HeartandBody.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Keravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Keravim? Simple. Keravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372. Or go to teravim.com, that's TERRAVIM.com. Teravim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guests today are Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones. They are associated with LifeGuardianFoundation.org, and we were talking about Brandon, Bernice's son, who had this happen to him 13 years ago, and then you started this foundation because you wanted to alert people to the fact of what was going on, and I can't imagine how many people have lost their lives just as Brandon did, but perhaps with your alerting of people and this foundation, hopefully that will not happen to others. So thank you both for what you're doing.
Thank you, Deanna, for what you do in giving us a chance to educate. Obviously, this must go on. The American people are kept from hearing the truth. Our only chance to get the truth out is with programs like yours and other programs, and then, of course, with whatever we can do in terms of writing and speaking and that kind of thing. But just look at what is going on in support of organ transplantation. All the laws are written in such a way to support organ transplantation. They changed the law and literally just made up brain death so that they could get beating hearts. They made it up medically. It's not based on science at all. Brain death has no science, no scientific basis to it. And as soon as they did that, they embarked on making it legal, which they did. The first state to get a brain death law was Kansas in 1970. Prior to that time, the law was such that the doctor would not declare death until there was a total stoppage of the circulation of the blood. And all the animal and vital functions, such as respiration and pulsation and the like, and no one would be declared dead until that time. But they couldn't get organs that way. They tried, but they weren't successful. So they invented brain death and then made it legal with the invention of the laws. The laws for the declaration of brain death is called the Uniform Determination of Death Act. They also, the Uniform Anatomical Gift Act, which was invented actually before the Determination of Death Act, but the Anatomical Gift Act was invented, but then was updated in all states starting in 2006. So we live, or at least I live, in the state of Ohio. Ohio was the 44th, was the 43rd state to get the law, and another state has gotten it since then. So 44 states already have the revised Uniform Anatomical Gift Act that makes it so that it's presumed that everyone intends to be an organ donor, and everyone has consented to do every test to them to determine if their organs are suitable for transplantation for someone else. And then they have consented to do everything to keep those organs in good shape until they can find someone to give the organs to. That law has already been passed, and it affects everyone. And yes, when someone signs up to be an organ donor, it makes it easier for them to get the organs. And once they've signed up, it makes it very difficult for anyone else to stop or interfere at all, that they can just go ahead and get the organs. The law does allow a way for someone to refuse to be an organ donor, but no state provides any mechanism to refuse. And then you gave the statistic about how many more people did something. Thousands of people did something to say they wanted to be an organ donor. Even if they hear us speak and they wish to revoke that, the law is written such that they call that a revocation. But a revocation is not a refusal, and you can still get the organs. So if anyone has indicated in any way that they wish to be an organ donor, they will be an organ donor. And it's very difficult to do anything to stop it, even after you learn the truth and you find out that after you have no heartbeat and no circulation and no respiration, there are no organs that can be transplanted. Yes, they can get some tissues, but tissues like the cornea and heart valves, they can get that after someone has no circulation, but those are tissues and not organs. All of the organs are made so that there's a requirement for a continual supply of oxygen and a continual taking away of the carbon dioxide. Without oxygen and with accumulation of carbon dioxide, the organs are so damaged in 4 to 5 minutes that they cannot be transplanted.
All righty. We will be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors. Please stay tuned. vital information.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus meat eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added two 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Our guests today are Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones. They are associated with LifeGuardianFoundation.org. Again, LifeGuardianFoundation.org. And you were talking about the laws. You talked about the Uniform Determination of Death Act and the Uniform Anatomical Gift Act. And then there's also HIPAA. And I'd also like to cover how this all started at Harvard.
Yes. Well, the way it started at Harvard was it actually started before Harvard. The first heart transplant was done in South Africa by Dr. Christian Bernard. Most of the people who are a bit older remember hearing about that in the news because it was well publicized that they had done a heart transplant in South Africa. What the second heart transplant was done 3 days later in Brooklyn, New York. It was publicized, but not so well publicized, because what they did in Brooklyn, New York, was cut the beating heart out of a three-day-old baby and transplanted it into an 18-day-old baby. The three-day-old baby had mental retardation. The 18-day-old baby was, as far as they could tell, mentally normal. And that was the guise and under which they did that transplantation. At the end of those procedures, both babies were dead. Thus, in Brooklyn, New York, they killed two babies, and in the second attempt to do a transplant from a beating heart. It was illegal, and it was immoral. That was in 1967. So how did they get around this? They appointed a committee at Harvard in 1968, and the committee was to study this subject and then come out with a report, which they did a few months later, and the report was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and it's entitled A Definition of Irreversible Coma. Now, coma can only occur in someone who is alive. Coma is like the word comma, you know, it's a pause, but it's different from true death. So coma, and then they put in that term irreversible, which in some ways is a term that only can become absolutely known under circumstances that you can't reverse it, because once it is reversible, then it's not irreversible, and that kind of thing. And a doctor can observe an absence of the functioning, and a doctor can observe destruction or disintegration, but a doctor cannot observe irreversibility. He can know it to some degree from previous experiments and experiences, but on the other hand, to know it absolutely, it's not within the prerogative of observation to observe irreversibility. So brain death was just made up. It was invented. It was concocted at Harvard by a committee, the Harvard Committee. The committee had no cardiologists on the committee, had no family physicians on the committee. And that committee said that they had to find a way to make this legal. And, of course, the committee report was 1968, and the first state to get a brain death law was 1970. That was Kansas. And since that time, all the states have a so-called brain death law. The laws are written in such a way that it's an observation of an absence of the functioning. Actually, they call it the absence of the function, but it's the functioning. And then that determination is made in accordance with accepted medical standards. Well, accepted medical standards vary all over the place. And as recent as within the last 2 years, it was published in the journal called Neurology that there was no consensus about which set of brain death criteria to use. And then since that time, another publication in the journal called Neurology pointed out how brain death is not based on evidence, is not evidence-based. Evidence-based is a relatively recent term that doctors are expected to act in accord with evidence-based, but there is no evidence base for brain death, and there can't be. It's impossible. But they admitted it's all there. There are many, many people that have pointed out how brain death is not true death. I myself started to study this subject in 1975 when I was taking care of a baby by the name of Joseph who wouldn't move and wouldn't breathe, and a brainwave test was done, and it was reported to be consistent with brain death. And I looked at Joseph, and he obviously wasn't truly dead, and I looked at the report. I called the neurologist. He said, well, repeat it. So we repeated it 2 days later. His brain waves are still flat. He had no brain waves. It was consistent with cerebral death, and the neurologist said, well, some places turn off the ventilator. I said, well, I don't do that. I continued to treat Joseph. Eventually, Joseph was able to breathe on his own, and Joseph did go to school. He got straight A's. He ran track. He played baseball. He's married, has three children. Well, and, of course, that was Joseph is the patient who started my study of brain death. But more recently, we have patients like Zach Dunlap from Oklahoma, where the helicopter was landing to take his organs, and to his good fortune, his cousin worked in the intensive care unit, did another test, saw a response, and stopped the procedure of taking his organs. And we see Zach being interviewed on the television and the like, very much alive, whereas if his if he didn't have that other test by a relative, he would have had his organs cut out very similar to the way that Brandon and other young people have their organs taken out, and they are not given any anesthetic. They are merely paralyzed, and when they cut on them to take the organs, the heartbeat goes up and the blood pressure goes up. And you mentioned the HIPAA law. Everyone is familiar with the HIPAA law. Everyone who goes to a pharmacy hears about it. You go to the doctor, you hear about it. You go to your insurance agent, you hear about it. You think that the HIPAA law is to keep your medical records private, when in fact you did not need a HIPAA law to keep medical records private. Doctors and nurses, from our very first time we get in medicine, we get trained how to keep the records private. But the reason they had to have the HIPAA law is that there's a list of 14 ways that the government can get your information without your permission and can use it without your permission. And one of those 14 ways is to get your organs for transplantation. The law is such that when death is imminent, and then they don't go on and define there what imminent is, but what has occurred is that when somebody has a head injury and they are on a ventilator, then that is considered to be imminent, and that's the signal to call the organ transplant people to come and start to be involved with what's going on at the hospital. And the treating doctor is no longer allowed to even bring up the subject of organ transplantation because the organ procurement people have stationed in the hospitals what they call designated requesters. And designated requesters are trained as to how to get organs for transplantation. And I have reviewed sufficient numbers of records to see that what they do is they observe the family. They pretend to be on the side of the donor. They're there to help. They figure out which parent is the weaker, the more likely to agree to this. And then they separate the parents. And once the parents are separated, then they get the weaker one to agree to anything, whatever that is. Sometimes it's such that that might be a do not resuscitate order or something like that, any inclination towards getting the organs. And once they have that, they can go on and move, and they figure out how to deal with the people so that they can get organs for transplantation. Yes, I know it's hard to listen to this. It's not easy to say it because I'm a physician, and I'm very proud of the medical profession. And there's many advances that have been made during the years I've been in medicine, but also there are a lot of things going on that are not good for the patient, and the people have to be made aware of them. They have to be alert when they go to the Bureau of Medical, License Bureau to get their license. They're asked the question, do you wish to be an organ donor? They're given no information about what it means to be an organ donor. And if they say yes, that becomes the license for someone to take their life away from them. If they say no, That doesn't get recorded anyplace. No state records the no when you say no at the License Bureau. That just goes off in the wind someplace. It doesn't get up, put on driver's license. It doesn't get recorded in any official way. And so if people want to take a stand against this, they need to get in touch with us, and we do provide medical cards that they can carry with them to protect and preserve their life. They have to be signed and witnessed and dated. And then also we have a booklet that that the listeners can get from us, and in the booklet are the documents for power of attorney for themselves. And the power of attorney is done in such a way that the power of attorney can only protect and preserve your life. It does not allow someone to kill you. And also, there's a power of attorney for someone who is a minor, for your children who might go off to camp or the like, or for a mentally incapacitated person. When somebody gets older, goes in a nursing home, they need to have a document to protect and preserve your life.
Now, the prime target for the organ harvesters seems to be from a teenager up through early 30s, but you've just mentioned people who are older. Now,
yes.
would they also harvest organs?
You're right, Deanna. That's the prime target are those that are 18 to 30 because they have the most healthy organs. When I first started to study this, they wouldn't take organs from anybody over the age of 50. But the latest thing I saw said that they will take organs up to the age of 70. They're willing to take organs from anybody. The organ transplantation business is big business, multi-billion dollar business. It's hard to get a handle on how many dollars are involved, but one man I talked to told me about his daughter-in-law who received a liver, and the bills totaled $1.4 million. So I said, well, who paid for this? And he said he had contributed a significant amount himself and their private insurance company. But then Medicare participated, and I checked into it. Medicare participates in many organ transplantations, maybe all organ transplantations. Certainly they're part of the donor registry, that kind of thing. There's a lot of dollars. We hear all these things on the news about the budget and the economy. We don't hear on the news about how many Medicare dollars go to things like organ transplantation. And there is no way to get a heart for transplantation unless it comes from a living donor. There's no way to get a whole liver unless it comes from a living donor. The heart and the liver, without circulation in 4 to 5 minutes, is destroyed. It's damaged to the point where it's not suitable for transplantation. And Medicare dollars are participating in getting hearts and getting livers for the people who are more powerful, as opposed to the unconscious, the vulnerable people. Also, who becomes an organ donor and who gets organs depends sometimes on who has insurance and who doesn't have insurance. These things become of importance when you start thinking about the Affordable Care Act, which is passed within the last year and a half by our Congress, and the bill itself is at least 1,000 pages, maybe 2,000 pages, and then there are all kinds of rules and regulations that go into that. It became publicized that the rules and regulations get off into whether they're going to be forced to provide contraception and sterilization and the like. Well, that's very, very important, but also it should be realized that you have a committee someplace determining what somebody, what treatment somebody's going to get or not get. And that committee is not made up of doctors. That committee is not made up of elected people. They're appointed people, and committees are appointed to whatever the person who appoints them wants them to do. And in the case of medicine, very few people have ever heard of the Institute of Medicine, but the Institute of Medicine is appointed, and the Institute of Medicine is the one that's laying out the rules for these things, and then the Health and Human Services Secretary picks that up and then sets the rules for CMS, which is Medicare and Medicaid, and then that gets in conformity with the state laws, the federal laws. Then the Joint Commission comes along and makes sure that they're abided by. The private insurance companies follow what CMS is doing. All this is going on, and most people are not paying much attention. And
right.
Thank you, Deanna, for having programs like this where people can at least have a chance to hear some of it.
All righty. We do need to go to a break. We'll be right back.
You like to own land, a refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, the collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within three stones' throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter-acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed, all just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141, 785-672-3141, or go online to coloradoriverlots.com for more information and to see photos. It is away from civilization, a good business investment, and a low-cost protection plan. Call today, 785-672-3141. 3141.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Deanna, we are back. Our guests today are Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones. They are associated with LifeGuardianFoundation.org. We do have a couple of emails, one from Lark, and he asked Dr. Byrne, are you aware of current bioethics czar Ezekiel Emanuel's position on anatomical gifting?
I think that I am aware, but I'm not absolutely sure of the question. That's why I say I think I am aware of the making up of the term of bioethics, which occurred again around 1980. And before that, there was the term called biology, and there was also the term called ethics. Biology is the study of living things. Ethics is the way how one ought to behave. And then these words were combined into bioethics. And actually, it's as far as I can tell, it's a mismatch, because biology is such that we can study it, but we can't do too much about it. On the other hand, ethics is how we ought to behave, and to combine them, how we ought to behave so far as biology is concerned, I think it's a mismatch, and many other people are beginning to realize that. The second part of the question had to do with what again? Can you
Are you aware of current bioethics czar Ezekiel Emanuel's position on anatomical gifting, which is probably goes along with the current laws that have been put in place?
Yes, and the Anatomical Gift Act is the one that we talked about. The revised Anatomical Gift Act makes it so that it presumes that we are all the intend to give our organs. I really believe that it violates the 13th Amendment of the Constitution. 13th Amendment of the Constitution is against slavery and involuntary servitude. But if you presume that everyone intends to be something, that's involuntary servitude. You can't presume intention, but yet that's how it acts. And then it presumes that everyone has consented to every test to determine if the organs are suitable, and has consented to do everything to keep them in good shape. And again, it's a presumed consent is the way it's written, but a presumed consent is no consent. And I think that violates the 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution, and it violates the Article 8 of the Constitution of Ohio. These kinds of things are eventually going to have to be looked at by people other than me. For instance, Constitution lawyers ought to be studying these things and paying attention to them. In the meantime, we need to protect and preserve our own life, and they can contact us at www.lifeguardianfoundation.org to get more information.
All righty. We do have to go to our 60-second top of the hour break. We will be right back, and we'll take calls in the next hour after the first break. Be right back.